Does an economy built on creativity need better laws against copycats?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how often do temporary workers get permanent jobs? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 9 points, about 0.1% at 12,491. The NASDAQ up 0.3%. S&P 500 up 0.1% right now. Federal Reserve said this morning that factories pumped out products at a fast clip in December. Manufacturing activity jumped almost 1%. That's the biggest gain in a year. We also learned this morning that the price producers pay for goods fell by 0.1%, mostly thanks to a drop in the price of gas and food. Now let's get to the online protest going on at websites, including Wikipedia today. The Encyclopedia Online has gone dark for a day to oppose the Stop Online Piracy Act, which is being considered by Congress. The legislation is supported by entertainment companies and publishers, among others, who say copyright violations online are costing them billions. For more, let's bring in Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, who joins us live from New York, as he does every Wednesday. Good morning, Josh.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, it looks like this particular legislation is unlikely to pass, at least in its current form. But I want to ask, don't these content creators have a point? Don't they deserve some protection online for their original content?
Of course they do. And I think what this debate is really about and what has the tech community so up in arms is, let's have a copyright law that doesn't slow the pace of innovation and stop people from building on each other's work, because that's the story of human progress, of American progress. So this is not about a copyright law's existence. This is about the way this particular law is written.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, if they deserve protection, then they deserve protection, right?
This is something different. This comes off as almost vindictive. Essentially, the way the Stop Online Piracy Act is written right now, if Google links to a site that in turn links to another site where any kind of piracy is taking place, based on the way this law is written, Google could actually be liable and could end up in court sued. It's obviously ridiculous. There's absolutely no way that makes any sense. And effectively, it would shut down the internet. And that's what these sites that have gone dark in protest today are showing us.
Well, Josh, do you think Congress is going to be able to get it right at some point?
You know, this is more about businesses working together and then speaking with their representatives and saying this is what the consensus is, this is how this should work. The internet is, while it's been around for 15 years in a commercial sense, it's still relatively young, and this kind of thing is going to evolve over time. So I hope Congress has very little to do with it. I hope the companies themselves can figure out the way that this can be done correctly.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
Now to the other big tech story of the day. The co-founder of Yahoo, Jerry Yang, is severing ties with the company after 17 years. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, Yahoo's future, which has been a bit cloudy over the past several years, may be a bit clearer now.
Jerry Yang helped create Yahoo in a trailer when he was a student at Stanford University in 1994. As he leaves the board, the company is struggling to stay relevant. The search pioneer has been passed by Google and others, but still draws millions of users a day. It's on its fourth CEO in 5 years. This month, Yahoo hired its latest chief executive, former PayPal president Scott Thompson, who was brought in to make big changes. Tim Beharin is president of Creative Strategies, a consulting firm. He says the timing is no coincidence.
I think Thompson basically in the board is saying we need a clean hand to do whatever we need to do to save the company, and I think that's why they made the break.
Yang also faced pressure from shareholders. As co-creator, analysts say Yang resisted change. Many were unhappy when he nixed a deal 4 years ago to sell Yahoo to Microsoft for more than $40 billion. Analysts say a new deal could be in the works. Yahoo is negotiating to sell off valuable investments in Asia, and several buyout firms have expressed interest in taking a stake in the company. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. and by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Home Depot says it's going to hire 70,000 seasonal workers over the next few months. 70,000. Now, how many of those temps will land permanent jobs? We asked Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer to find out.
My vegetable garden is a sad tangle of weeds and cold mud. Spring planting is the last thing on my mind. But hardware stores are already hiring extra hands for their busiest season. Home Depot spokesman Stephen Holmes says half of last year's seasonal workers were slotted into permanent jobs as they opened up.
So it's a great chance to get your foot in the door. And it's a great chance for us to see associates, meet new associates.
Princeton labor economist Henry Farber says Home Depot's permanent hiring may be a sign that the economy is improving. People stay in their jobs when the economy is really bad, only venturing into new positions when things get better.
I think Home Depot could actually expect a bit more turnover than they had in the past. So it's quite reasonable to think that they would have permanent positions to fill.
Overall, Home Depot employs 4,000 more people today than it did in 2009, for a total of about 300,000. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, to Monroe, Pennsylvania, and the case of a missing manatee. Not a real manatee, which looks sort of like a fat dolphin, but a $1,000 concrete manatee mailbox that disappeared earlier this week. It was found in a nearby creek, missing its left arm and with a head injury. The owner wasn't surprised, though. According to the Patriot News, in the 7 years she's owned the manatee mailbox, it's been smashed with a golf club, dressed up, and set on fire. She says now that she's been reunited with the mailbox, she'll probably just keep it in the backyard. You can see a picture of a manatee mailbox at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Think about Detroit for a second. Not as a city, but as an image.
I would hope to be billed as something along the lines of Esquire, zoomed in on the Metro Detroit area.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the quick rise and equally fast fall of Jack Detroit, the magazine. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.